Good evening. The show begins tonight in Afghanistan. A hostage is returned, an American hostage is returned to America. At the same time, there is a threat that the Pakistani officials who have been receiving aid from the United States and our allies to buy food for the Afghanistan refugees living inside Pakistan, there's a threat that the food will stop. More, the Pakistani officials are speculating that they will oblige 875,000 of the 3 million Afghan citizens who have fled Afghanistan and are living in Pakistan. 875,000 will be pushed back across the line into Afghanistan, where they have no home and where the Taliban doesn't ask for them and is abusive towards anybody coming back, especially if you collaborated with the enemy. That would be the United States and its allies. There is no resolution on this. That's why we begin there. Bill Raggio comments that Pakistan is a poor, troubled country with multiple sources of income, but no extra to feed people who come from Afghanistan. That's apparently the opinion. The money that was paying for it came from USAID and our allies in Europe. It hasn't gone yet, but there's a threat that it's going to go. Then Bill and I turn to Syria, where the news is that Erdogan of Turkey is arming al-Shara, the self-named president of Syria, who has named a cabinet of his pals, his workers, his al-Qaeda veterans. In addition, he's claiming they have a diverse cabinet. The election will be sometime in the future. I don't know. He named a number of years. Syria is not a state to recognize. It is a failed state, non-transparent, and al-Shara is al-Qaeda veteran. Where this goes from now is anybody's guess, but a failed state is an ungoverned space, and it encourages bad acting. Bill and I then talk about the question of Turkey and its role in all of this. Turkey is the driver for al-Shara. The U.S. knows it, Israel knows it, Russia knows it. Russia, Israel, and the United States are planted in Syria, and they're not leaving. So the intention of the Biden administration to leave the Middle East is interrupted by that deployment in eastern Syria. I turn to talking to John Hardy. Bill Raggio joins me. John Hardy of FTD, watching Ukraine. The Ukrainians remain in a sliver of the Kursk salient. They remain in a piece of the Belgorod oblast. They're holding on to Pokrovsk at the edge of Donetsk. And otherwise, the battlefield is not changing very much while the negotiation is said to be underway in Riyadh, perhaps. We talked to John Hardy about what negotiation. There is a general interest in a ceasefire. Right now, there's said to be a ceasefire extending to energy nodes in Ukraine and in Russia. However, the reports in these last hours is that the attacks willy-nilly continue. There's no determining how far the attacks will go, what the provocation looks like. Then a conversation with Steve Yates of the Heritage Foundation and my friend Gordon Chang about the intention of China to attack Taiwan in 2027. And is Washington alarmed by this? Is Washington moving? The general impression is yes, but there's not much time to prepare the defenses. Secretary of Defense Hegseth, in his first Asian trip as secretary, speaking in Tokyo, said that the Americans are going to build a war-fighting base in Japan. That would be in the Okinawa chain, to be wise. That is the way you bottle up the Chinese fleet. I will speak more of this in coming days with Grant Newsham, who knows these waters very well, having served in the Marine Corps intelligence for many years in the Japanese archipelago. I'll also speak to Alan Tonelson about the tariffs that haven't been entirely revealed yet. The reciprocal tariffs are said to be coming this week. The markets are unhappy, but it was the end of a quarter, and The markets gave back all of the bull run that they enjoyed after Mr. Trump's victory in November of 24. Nothing new there. Market players are not to be complained about. They do what they want. Anyway, reciprocal tariffs may or may not be profound. Allen thinks that they will encourage some aspect of fair trade between the United States and its allies. For example, Allen says that General Motors and Ford meet resistance when they try to sell into Europe or into Asia because of tariffs, whereas coming the other way, the U.S. uses very small amounts of tariffs at vehicles coming in from, say, Europe, 2.5%. That field can be narrowed. We then come to the question of the operations in Central America, the deporting of Trendy Aragua and M13 gang members and others by the Trump administration. The judges keep issuing stop orders and stay orders. It's hard to follow where we are. We did report with Joseph Umar, 17 more gang members landed in El Salvador, where they're put into the prison by Bukele, who declares them murderers and evildoers. Bukele is the president of Panama. Also discussing with Joseph Umar, Panama itself and the risk it now takes because the Chinese do not want to let their influence peddling there go. The sale by Panama of the port facilities now owned by Hutchinson of Hong Kong, the sale to BlackRock, run by Larry Fink, is said to be paused. The deal is not to be signed because of pressure from China. The question is, what can the U.S. do about the vulnerability of Panama and the Panama Canal to Chinese influence peddling? There's no easy answer. I speak with Veronique Durigy about the tariffs that have already been announced and the reciprocal tariffs, and Veronique is adamant that tariffs make everything more expensive, manufacturing more expensive, everything more expensive, and that is not competitive. Canada. Conrad Black and I continue to discuss the allegation that there is a mass grave of children, Native American, Native Canadian children, who were abused more than 100 years ago and have been buried in a graveyard near a school that was once welcoming to Indigenous children. There is no evidence that there is anybody in these graves, and though the Parliament has voted money to investigate, the local authorities, that is influenced heavily by the Native Americans, will not permit investigation. So the allegation is unproved. The allegation is, after all these years, meant to be a condemnatory of Canada. Some aspects of Canada have apologized for something that doesn't exist, can't be proved to exist until those areas where they're said to be graves is investigated, which wouldn't take long, but there it is. Finally, Craig Unger joins his books. Craig's a reporter who's been working on the Russian interference in America story for a long time. This is before the fall of the Soviet Union. He interviewed a man named Kalugin, Oleg Kalugin, who was the head of Department K at the KGB during the Soviet era. He was in charge of putting sleeper agents into America. They used the refuseniks to do it. They did a lot of sleeper agents who lived in Coney Island. Every once in a while, Kalugin, though he's a KGB general, recruiting and sending in sleeper agents in America for the events of trouble in the future, comes and goes at Coney Island, hanging out in bars, spotting other talent. In the 1970s, Craig then turns to the question of, was Donald Trump in some fashion spotted by the Russian agents in the 1970s? There's no definitive information, but there are two hotels that got mixed up with Russian voices. Craig has an irony. In the United States, the FBI and the Mafia are enemies. In Russia, the Mafia and the KGB are allies. It's ironic. And finally, a conversation with Mary Anastasia O'Grady about a new mass grave found in Jalisco State in Mexico and what is to be done. beyond the investigation, will anybody be held accountable? It's impossible to know at this point. And a good news about honeybees. Honeybees are plagued by a parasite that lives on a mite that has been sweeping the hives, the honeybee hives. Well, the mRNAi science has now found a way to stop the mite. And it's beginning to make a difference for the pollinators in the United States. It's good news. I like a piece of good news in a program. Anyway, there's much more to say. I've gone through this quickly because there's so many different stories developing. We're waiting for Liberation Day, that's Wednesday, for the White House to announce the reciprocal tariffs on our allies and our adversaries. Thank you for listening.